Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, my name is Drew Shaw. ADC number is 251544.
Good morning, Mr. Shaw. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Policy for your revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant. And based upon information we have, you were notified of this hearing back on November 16, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
And on that notification, it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today, therefore may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning, sir?
Yes, sir.
And as you, well, you cannot see us because we're doing it by telephone, but we have a two-member panel this morning participating in your hearing, and they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel chair. And we also have in the room with us today Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer for today. Mr. Shaw and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you. As I've indicated, Mr. Westby, you have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read them, and once I read them, would you tell me whether they are true or false, or each of them? The first one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at La Palma's Motel, 765 West Grand Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona, on or about October 5, 2017, without the prior proof of your assigned parole officer. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes.
Yes, mean true?
Yes, true.
Okay, thank you, sir. And the next one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13H, as demonstrated by your failure to register with the Sheriff's Office within 72 hours after a change in residence, name, school, or electronic identifier, per ARS 13-3822 on about October 10, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
I'm going to say true, but I'm going to say true.
Okay, well, you have an opportunity to explain it when we get into phase two, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Shaw, I'm going to move to find that he's in violation of the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Second.
By the unanimous determination of the board, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now we're going into phase two of your hearing, sir. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to continue you on community supervision or to revoke your supervision. Now, we begin phase two by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. We're going to ask that you remain quiet, and once we get this information, we'll be back to you, and you can explain whatever you need to say to the board, and we will ask questions. At this time, we're going to ask the Honorable Mr. Westby if he would be kind enough to give us some background information. Mr. Westby, sir.
Mr. Shaw was released from DOC on June 29, 2017. He was arrested October 19, 2017 by DOC. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on October 19, 2017, with a supervision end date of December 28, 2017, zero abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, sexual assault, 3.5 years. Prior conviction, 2010, sexual abuse, 2 years. This is the second term in DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score is not registered. There is no STG gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2011, TIS release completion, 3 months. There are no disciplinary violations. There are no other arrests. His community risk score is a G2V3. He is a level 2 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Westby, and now we want to talk to you just a little while, Mr. Shaw, and then we want to give you an opportunity to tell us whatever you need to tell us based on information that we have. When you were released from Florence, you were to go, where were you placed? There was no approved placement, and you eventually ended up at the New Windsor Hotel in Phoenix, and then you were approved to go to a weekly kitchenette, and also in Phoenix, and then the Palmer Motel in Phoenix, and then you failed to report any changes of residence to any assigned parole officers. Well, did you live anywhere else while you were out, sir? Did you reside anywhere else while you were out, sir? Aside from those hotels and motels and the kitchenette, sir?
No.
Okay, sir. We also take note that based on information that we have, you did have some employment. So where were you employed at, sir?
I was employed for State Pro Auto Glass.
Okay. And how long were you with them, sir?
I was with them for about 3 months.
Okay. And okay, that's great. We always look at it as being positive when you're employed. That really looks good on your record, sir. And then you were required to submit four urine specimens for drug testing, and you submitted all of them as directed, and they all were normal or negative. Again, you made some real progress there. And I guess, but then we had this little problem with your, as it relates, because I believe you was on a GPS electronic monitoring system, and somehow the device got removed. And so what happened there with that GPS system, sir?
They took it off eventually because I established residence. So it was something that he gave me a timeline. He said if you establish residence for a certain period of time, remove the GPS monitor.
Okay. Then why did they write you up for changing your place of residence from La Poste to the motel? What was that about, sir?
Can you repeat that, sorry?
Yeah, they were, as part of the warrant, they indicated that you changed your place of residence at La Paz Palmer Motel in Phoenix, and I was asking you why did they write that you had changed your residence, sir?
Well, just to be blatantly honest, it was just, I was staying at Los Palmas, you know, it was $50 a day to stay there. So I was paying about $350 a week, and it got to a point where I just couldn't afford it anymore. And me being irresponsible and stubborn, I tried to take it upon myself to say, okay, I can find the money and figure it out, instead of calling, you know, my parole officer and getting, you know, further instruction from there. So that was the reason why the whole incident even happened. So that was pretty much the purpose of it.
Okay. In other words, these are my words now, you just didn't tell the PO really what was going on. You didn't want to admit that you didn't want to continue to pay that $50, and that was really adding up, and so that created a problem for you. And as it relates to the second allegation on your warrant, this situation, you know, where you were supposed to register with the sheriff's office within 72 hours after changing residence, why didn't you register with the sheriff's office, sir? Any particular reason?
Well, again, it was just ignorance of the law of me. I didn't know, because I never changed my address. It was something where my mom was like, if you can't pay for it, you know, then you're going to stay there in the parking lot until we can figure it out. And so that was what I was doing. And I never changed my address, so I never went and registered. Now that I know, I should have registered homeless and just did it that way. But, you know, at the time, I didn't know.
Okay. It sounds like your mother was very influential in your life. So is she someone who you still have most confidence in out in the community? Is that your mother, sir?
Yes, sir. I mean, she's been there all every step of the way. Actually, Since I've been in here, she's been doing a lot of work helping me come up with a plan to be successful as far as residence. Because residence has been my only problem. I don't have a drug problem. My job actually wrote like two or three character letters, and I didn't know if you guys were if I was able to read them to you or submit them to you, so you can see that I have even support from my job, that they're backing me as far as how good of a worker I am, and they're gonna let me come back as soon as I get out if I am reinstated. She actually put a plan together for me to go to East Valley Men's Center, which is a place that I was initially going to try to go to. I did their intake exam and everything when I was released in June, and I was just waiting for a bed to open. And she contacted them the other day, and they have a couple beds open there. And so that's something that I want to do, because they actually help you save money, and then you're able to get a residence from there. So she's been very helpful, and she's going to be there every step of the way.
Okay, well, I'm very pleased to hear that. So at this time, I'm going to ask my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Neal, if he might have some questions for you, sir. Honorable Mr. Neal.
I don't believe so at this time.
Okay, no questions from Mr. Neal. Therefore, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, sir. But we do want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make that decision whether to revoke your community supervision or to bring you back out into the community. What else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Basically, I just want to say, to be honest, at first, I was going to come up with a whole bunch of excuses of why, I did what I did. But, I've been doing that my whole life. And after missing another Thanksgiving away from my family, I finally got a reality check. I was irresponsible, stubborn, and reckless, and I take the full responsibility for that. But as reinstated, I do have a plan to go to East Valley Men's Center. I do have a job waiting for me. And I think, that will set me up for success, and I can be successful and, complete my parole.
Okay, sir. Thank you so very much. So at this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will make a determination whether to return you to the community or to revoke your community supervision. The board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation for Mr. Shaw. I believe that now he's beginning to see the light. He's beginning to see mistakes that he's made in the past. He's still a young man, by the way, so I think that now that he's beginning to mature more, he really has a plan and he looks forward to the future, and he has the support of his mother. However, as we know that he will be out if this board does not release him now. He will be out before the end of this month, and today is already the 8th, therefore in 20 days he's going to be out at any rate. It's going to take a number of days to get him processed to get out. Therefore, I commend him for the progress that he's made, the lack of having dirty UAs, for his having employment, as well as for his having a plan. I would want to put, my recommendation is to put that plan on hold for 20 days, so when he gets out, he would not have to report to a parole officer or anyone else. But at this time, I'm prepared to listen to my distinguished colleague, the Honorable Mr. Neal.
I agree.
Thank you so much, sir. Therefore, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Shaw did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways while he was out, and as much as he had not reported to the sheriff's office regarding the within 72 hours, and he did make that mistake by not telling his PO what his situation was at the hotel. I further move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
By unanimous determination of the board, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be out on December the 28th, 2017, which is just 20 days away, which means that at that time you will not have to report to a parole officer or anyone else. You will have to report to two people, in my opinion. And this is just my opinion. One, you're going to have to report to your mother, and the second one, you're going to have to report to yourself at that time. Therefore, we know you can do it. We wish you the best, and we hope to never see you again in Orange. and we wish you more success. So don't look at this as a negative. We might have looked at it a little different if you had had more time to be incarcerated. But with 20 days, I think that that's the best. Put that plan together and implement it. Thank you so very much, and your hearing is over. And please put your correction officer back on.